Footprint Show, where we talk about government, music, art, health, science, ecology, religion, metaphysics, and all things spiritual. In short, we'll examine the truth, and when we find things that aren't right, we'll offer creative solutions. And now, the host of Evident Footprints, Don Nikoloff.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Evident Footprints on BBSRadio.com. I'm your host, Don Nikoloff, and I will be with you for the next hour. We've got a great show for you tonight, a great guest, very dear friend of mine. We're going to bring him on in a moment, but before we do, on this January the 22nd on the West Coast, now already January the 23rd on the East Coast and in the Central Time Zone, we are going to touch upon some topics that we've discussed in the very recent past. And those of you who think in eternal terms, in the eternal now, we are still discussing it. Let's put it that way. What are we going to talk about? We've talked about a lot of things. We've talked about taking responsibility for ourselves as sovereign individuals, or as James of Wingmakers.com likes to call us, sovereign integrals. We are creatures of God. We are children of God. We have been given free will, and that doesn't necessarily give us license to plunder, murder, steal, rape, and all the other crazy things that people do. He created us as human beings, put us on a planet to get along with one another, work through our difficulties, discern what is going on through an ever-increasing awareness of what is going on, and that leads to insight, which also should enable us to converse in a friendly, intelligent, and loving manner with one another, since ultimately we will discover that we are all one. So, looking at the world the way it is today, in 2009, one would have to say we're on a path of destruction, or are we really? Is there any hope for us? Is there salvation within ourselves? We keep waiting for someone to come down from a cloud and rescue us from our own demise, the things of our own making, the things of our own creation. And our refusal to recognize that is why we stay in the muck that we're in. You've heard me talk about this enough, so I'm going to bring tonight's guest on board, and we're going to discuss this and more important issues, although that is really the essence of how we go about solving our problems, is to face that reality. Our guest is not as frequent as I would like guest on Evident Footprints, although he has been on a number of times. If I were to count, I would say three, possibly four times in the past year and a half. He is a talk show extraordinaire in his own right. He has a show on Republic Broadcasting Network Monday through Fridays, and the central times are from 9 p.m. to 11 p.m. Central, and he hosts a show called Uncensored Radio Free America. He has been a broadcaster. My understanding is he's either into his 30th or 31st year, maybe even longer than that. He's also worked in television, and he's known all over the United States as well as in many foreign countries. He's got a great heart. He's got the best radio voice I've ever heard. And he has been a mentor not only to me, but many other talk show hosts, not just on RBN, but even here at BBSRadio.com. And so with that, I welcome my good friend, Mr. Rick Adams. Rick, welcome.
Well, thank you again for having me back on the show, Don. It's my pleasure to be with you.
Well, you got to hear my introduction here, and of course, maybe you can clear up this issue as to how long you've actually been broadcasting. I think the listeners would get a kick out of that.
I would say my first radio job actually was in 1976, and my first actual on-air interview started in 1977. It was Outlook 77, I think, was the first show I did. So, let's see, that's about 31 years, going on 32 now, right?
Yeah, so I was kind of on the money.
You were. You were.
Okay.
You usually are, Don.
Not always.
Well,
but I get there. Sometimes
more frequently than I think.
Well, you know, I have the utmost respect for your show, the topics that you cover, and your approach to dealing with these issues. And you by far have to be the most popular internet radio talk show host that I've ever come across. You say, okay, we're taking calls, and the lines fill up. And if you have a guest that doesn't appear for whatever reason, technical problems or some emergency situation that arises, you are just an encyclopedia of information, and you are able to wing it on the fly. And you would be a good jazz musician if you ever took up jazz, by the way. And you've also blessed my career in many ways. You've given me a forum on your show to share my research. You've had me as a guest on your show. You've introduced me to very good guests, some who I'm working with now on projects. Dr. K comes to mind.
Sure.
He's become a very good dear friend because of you, because of your generosity and your kindness. And
right,
so I'm saying all this because we're going to get into some very serious issues tonight, and I want the listening audience to know that you are not a vindictive man. You are the kindest man I know on radio. You are gracious as a host. You are gracious to the callers, even when they are in their petulant frenzies, we could call it. This show isn't about accolades, but you certainly deserve them.
Well, I try to be humble about it, and I'm only an ordinary person. I don't put myself up on a pedestal, as you know. But doing a talk show, I think the way I like to do it, Don, and I don't speak for anyone else, and I don't criticize anybody publicly who's in the same the same alternative media. I do take my shots at the professional people, the hucksters, I call them, the professional hucksters who get paid to lie and paid to deceive. But as for us in this movement, as you know, it's not a profitable venture. No one can ever accuse me or you of getting rich doing this type of program, because it's the furthest thing from the truth. So all I try to do on my show is, as you say, to try to be fair and kind to people, and to try to stick with the issues, you know, because for one reason or another, you know, I don't accuse anybody, I don't accuse callers or certain guests of trying to manipulate and turn the show into a name-calling exercise. But having said that, at the same time, that's the effect, as you know, and that can be the effect when people get on, and for whatever reason, whether it's just their hurt feelings are hurt, or they make it a personal crusade, you know, we get off the subject and we wind up turning the talk radio medium into a coffee table gossip conversation, and that's what I don't like, you know?
Yeah, and that's really a reflection of how we succumb to the devices that are being used to divide and conquer us. People are trapped in this belief system.
Sure.
That you've heard me talk about, and I've heard you talk about it as well.
Yep.
There's a difference between believing and knowing, or being, really.
Mm-hmm.
It's one thing to talk, it's another to do what you say you do. And there are a lot of people out there that are really there to muddy the waters. I'm fortunate that happens very seldom, if at all, on my show.
It's
happened a couple of times, but... you know, I lament the fact that our listeners aren't calling in, and when I question people, I get lots of email saying, you know, we don't want to interrupt the conversation, the flow of information, because
yes,
they're hearing things sometimes that they're not hearing anywhere else. But I can recommend your show as a place to go for people to hear truth, certainly.
Yes, and I understand what you're saying. It's true. Excuse me. I get a lot of emails, too, off the air, on the air, and, you know, people will say the same thing. They're listening, and they'll never call. And I think you know that most people will never call a talk show. They'll listen and find it interesting. And they're in the hundreds and hundreds of numbers for everyone that does call. So it can get to be, you know, a high number of people listening that you never suspected would be listening to, including people in high places, I'm sure you're aware. So, fascinating industry, yes.
Oh, yeah, I know they're listening because they send me all the spam and the junk emails. So.
Yeah.
You know, click
as long
on,
as that's all they send you, right? That's okay, yeah.
Yeah. I really wish I had all the bank accounts they claim I have or all the credit cards.
You know? Oh, boy, wouldn't that be fun, huh, if we did?
Oh, yeah. Yep. You know, I mean, I'm being a bit facetious, but, you know, it's amazing the amount of deceit that's going around. And mm-hmm. and of course, they're not doing all of it. There are a few out there that are quite enterprising individuals on their own. But I'm finding out that this plot to destroy our country is so orchestrated and so deep and what's the word I'm looking for? Just almost overwhelming in a sense.
Yes.
That people look at this problem and they say, where do we start? Where do we begin? And I've been trying to say, you know, it begins with each one of us, first of all. You know, we're quick to victimize ourselves or blame someone else, but we're all co-creating this reality in a sense.
Mm-hmm.
And we do that also through not responding I'm not saying people have to get into politics per se, but they should be willing to voice their opinions about things that are being done to us by the political machines that run the world. And I'm interested in your perspective on that whole thing and what might be a way for us to work our way out of it if you know, for lack of a better you know, get outside the box or out of the matrix.
Well, you mean as hosts?
Well, I'm saying as individuals. If you were to counsel someone, to, you know, the average listener out there that's saying, and we have to say listener because they're listening to this radio show, but the average person, if a listener were to counsel someone who doesn't really see what's going on in the world, how would you describe it to that person, to anyone?
I mean, how would we begin to make them see the light?
Yes.
Is your question. Well, you know, I think quite honestly, Don, you have to use different strokes for different folks, different mm-hmm. approaches for different people, because I found that unless you can sort of break the ice with people and establish some credibility with them on something that's important to them, it's pretty difficult to try to capsulize the malaise, the problems that we are facing as a nation and a world in a few minutes of conversation when you know that their minds are not with you. They're thinking of immediate gratification, maybe. We all do. Thinking of what am I doing today? What do I have planned with the time that I have on my hands? And so, you know, you have to sort of gear that person. I think you have to feel them out. You know, on a personal level, people that we meet, you know, on the radio it's a different thing because we don't know who they are. But when we meet them in person, in a physical sense, then we sort of have to size them up. And as you know, there are some people when you first meet them and you hear them talk, you either write them off right away and say, well, this is a waste of time. Or you say, now here's a potential evangelist, and I mean that in the political sense. You know, here's somebody that definitely wants the truth and mm-hmm. wants to know the truth that'll set him free, you know? So as far as personal contact, it varies, like I say, from person to person. And I just try, first of all, I try to make contact with people in a friendly type of way, try to get their attention, although sometimes I'll admit that I can be quite brash and I can be quite intemperate, and I could be quite abrupt, and sometimes if they catch me in a bad mood, you know what's going to happen is I'm going to say something I didn't want to say, and I wind up alienating them. And that happened to me just the other night.
Mm-hmm.
I was picking up a dinner in a restaurant, and I'm minding my own business. You know, I'm trying to just sit there and wait. And some guy walks in, and it's the day of the inauguration, and the TV screen is up and on, right?
Mm-hmm.
The TV is on, and wouldn't you know, he had to strike up a conversation and say, "Did you see that inauguration today? What did you think?" And I says, "What inauguration, first of all?" He said, "Well, the inauguration of Obama." And I says, "Oh, are you kidding? Are you crazy? Like, I have interest in that nonsense?" And I was kind of rude. I admit, I got a little bit uncharacteristic. I says, "I have no time for foolishness. I have no time for that superfluity." And I said, "Why would I want to do that? And when there are so many more important things to do than to listen to a man who's a politician get up and say the things that are going to make people feel good instead of telling them what they need to know. Why would I want to do that?" So he was unprepared for that. You can imagine his shock, you know. And then I really lit into the poor guy, and I said, "Look, buddy, I've been following this for 35 years, and I've heard the same rhetoric from all of these politicians, all of them in my lifetime. And there is no such thing as an honest politician." And now he's starting to turn red, and, you know, and I'm over there and I'm saying, "Gee, maybe I shouldn't have come on that strong. It's not the way to win, you know, friends and influence people."
Mm-hmm.
But he picked me at the wrong moment, you know, and when I was so fed up with hearing the words of Obama. So I said, "You see, you ask a guy like me a question, and you get an answer." And he says, "Yeah, I guess I shouldn't have asked." The poor guy went into a corner, I swear. He went into a corner, and he turned aside like, I'm really sorry I did ask this guy. He's either, you know, he's freaking thinking I'm a nut because I'm one of the few thinking people, or I'm just a very arrogant guy and a mean-spirited guy, and he probably thought I didn't like Obama because he was black. And I said, "Well, he's not black." And I said, "You know what? I don't care about his skin color." I said, "He's just like the rest of them. They're a dime a dozen." And I said, "Our country is being destroyed, my friend. Let's cut out the euphoria. It's time to wake up. And it's time to cut out the niceties." So that didn't win me a friend there, I have to admit. But that's on a personal level. When I was in an unhappy mood, and you know, he caught me, and he asked a question. I think he's going to be very careful now, that poor fellow, about who he asks what of. So that was my lesson for the day, Don. So
you get the
drift of how we can all fall into that malaise, so to speak.
Yeah, a couple of years after 9/11, I was at a professional baseball game, and which I partake in occasionally, but it's not to buy into the commerciality of it. I enjoy watching people perform sports. I was an athlete in my younger days, and there's a competitive nature, but it's more the individual accomplishment, you know, the accomplishments of some really great athletes or something to behold in person. And it began raining, and the guy sitting next to me was griping about the fact that we were not permitted to have umbrellas in the ballpark because of the threat of terrorism. Okay, in other words, to protect your head from the rain with an umbrella is a terrorist act.
Mm-hmm.
There's a guy on the internet called the Kid from Brooklyn that does a comedy routine online where he's talking about that very issue, and they handed out bats that day. They wouldn't let people bring umbrellas into the stadium. This was in New York at a Yankees game. But they were handing out bats, which, you know, you could certainly use as a weapon.
Sure.
And it's the ridiculous nature of what we're put through under this fraud that's called the war on terror. And I was talking to the guy, and I said, "Well, you know, it's really because of 19 Arab box cutter toting hijackers that we can't bring our umbrellas into this ballpark. And he looked at me like I was crazy, and I said, what's wrong? And he said, that doesn't make any sense. And I said, it makes a whole lot of sense. What do you know about 9/11? We got into that conversation, and the guy's eyes got glassy, and you've seen the look. We've all seen it. When we talk to people, well, that's probably the fluorides from the tap water releasing into the system and mixing with the adrenaline from the fear. And I might be a bit overly general in that description, but what is it? What is it that causes people to have such physiological reactions or such psychological reactions to the truth? It's because we've been brainwashed and propagandized to the hilt, I would say. Would you agree with that?
Oh, yeah. And you know, this subject came up on, I think, my show probably a week and a half ago, and that is the business of political correctness, too, that pervades the air. Today, it's very difficult to go into, a coffee shop, where I go frequently, more or less to listen and observe rather than obviously to get on a soapbox. And I know that invariably, with the men especially, the conversation will be aimed at sports. It will be aimed at whether it's the World Series, or whether it's the Super Bowl coming up, whether it's something of that sort, hockey, whether it's baseball, football, whatever it might be, basketball, it's always invariably on sports, because that's the common denominator that brings all of these guys together. And I look at them when they pick up the newspaper, and the first section they go to is the sports section. And then I look on the websites of the newspapers, and I see what they do. The most emailed stories, often, more often than not, are stories about their favorite pitcher, their favorite linebacker, you know, their favorite football celebrity. And I say, that is where we're at. And political correctness rules. For instance, if I start talking about 9/11, and I start talking about the end of the world, and the end of the world as we know it, and where we are going prophetically and biblically, people start getting nervous. They start getting tense. And they usually either change the subject again, or they get up and leave. So if I want to get a seat, and I'm having a problem getting a seat in a restaurant or something, or, you know, one of these donut shops, all I have to do is just start saying, hey, looks like the end is coming, huh? Unemployment's going to hit 25% next month. I start scaring people, and invariably a few seats become available very quickly.
And you might even get some free food, right?
Yeah, I'll tell you. I mean, I know human nature, and I know how to manipulate it as well. Not in a devious, evil way, but I know how to do it to sort of cut through the matrix, you know, because this is what we're dealing with, human nature that is being explored, studied, and then exploited by the very people who want to control the world, the very high muckety-mucks. As you know, Don, because you've done such a brilliant job of uncovering things and a brilliant job of research and seeing the people behind the scenes who make the decisions that affect all of us, you know that they know human nature just as Satan knows human nature. Their father is Satan. He knows how to exploit it. He knows how to make people react in a politically correct way, in a politically correct manner, so that when he wants to silence discussion of the real issues, he'll just throw up a term and say, bigot, racist, anti-Semite, I know where you're coming from, like that. And so that silences debate, you see, and that all of a sudden stigmatizes the atmosphere with a crowd of people who really and truly are, shall we say, naive, people who are uninitiated, people who are on such a level of LCD, lowest common denominator, they wouldn't know what to do if you started to strike up a conversation about something other than sports or the weather. I mean, the weather is another common denominator right now at this time of year. So you know, again, that goes to the quick of where we are as a society, I think, when you try to, and we all know it. We all do it. All the listeners now are saying, yes, I know what he's saying. I know what Rick is saying. I have the same problem talking to my family, talking to members of my family. They think I'm crazy. They think I belong in the booby hatch. And yes, some people in my family think I'm crazy, too. Some people I know as friends think I'm a little strange because I'm doing things that they do not do, talking about important things, not who's going to win the World Series or who is going to win in the Super Bowl, but are you going to have a job tomorrow, and how, if you don't, are you going to pay your bills? They'd rather not think about those things now, would they?
No, and they don't even stop to think that when they are in a position where they can't pay their bills and support their family or even feed their family, those very people that they worship in entertainment, in professional sports, are not going to come and feed them. They're not going to come and pay their bills for them. That's done sometimes as publicity stunts to garner attention and to portray an image of benevolence and altruism and generosity, but it's usually disingenuous because these same people that we worship for doing those things and for their athletic achievements are also commonly in the news for breaking the law, murder cases, speeding violations, drug use, all these stories that we hear about.
And
then you brought up the issue. I wanted to come back to it for a moment. Just this term, political correctness, anything referring to politics as if that's the benchmark for integrity. What an oxymoron that word is. We know politicians to be corrupt, to be deceitful, to not be worth the trust that they're given, and yet we use them as the benchmark for integrity. What an oxymoron. What insanity.
Sure. Oh, absolutely.
And
it's amazing because I study the way people think, and I like to observe, as I say. I'm sure you do the same when you go and you go into a crowd of people and they don't know who you are. They don't know you're a talk show host. Some of the people, of course, do. They recognize me from the local TV show that I do, but others don't. And, you know, when you go into a mixed crowd like that, you know darn right well that if you say a few words that may be considered to be emotional charged language, you know, words that might all of a sudden cause someone to have a stiff neck or tingling down the spine, then you know darn right well you are dealing with a programmed public. As soon as you start talking about the Federal Reserve, for instance, and why their dollar is worthless, why it's virtually worth nothing, now you either get a commonality of saying, yeah, you're right, yeah, it's worth nothing, huh? Isn't that something? Or you're going to get people that'll say, well, I don't know anything about that, and I don't know anything about money, but I just saw Tom Brokaw say something about it, or I saw Brian Williams, or I saw Katie Couric, or Charlie Gibson, and they must know better than I do, and they'll believe what they see on TV. They'll instinctively say, well, it must be so because I just read it in the paper. And then I'll throw them a curve, and I'll say, well, did you know that this happened? Did you read that in the paper? No. Why not? That's a good question, Rick. Why not? And then I proceed to tell them, because people in the media have to observe that politically correct etiquette that I'm talking about. If one newspaper, for instance, walked out of lockstep with the New York Times or the Post and started to print what you and I know about 9/11, what do you think would happen to the editors and publishers of that newspaper? What do you think would happen, Don?
Well, short of being murdered, they would be defamed, discredited, infiltrated, and bankrupted.
They'd be shut down by the advertisers, the powerful elite advertisers.
Yeah, of course. Of course.
And they know that. They know that. In fact, I've had them admit it to me. I've had editors, I've had newspapers saying this. Look, I know what you're saying is true, Rick, but if we talk like that and wrote those stories, man, all hell would break loose. And I said, why? Why is it that you're telling me you know what I'm saying is true, yet you definitely wouldn't touch it with a 10-foot pole? Because you're corrupt, that's why. Because the system is corrupt, and the media are the most corrupt of all. As I've always said when I've appeared on your show, Don, that if it were not for the media continuing to lie by commission and omission, that people might at least have an excuse. Might not have a legitimate excuse, really, in reality, mm-hmm. to come out and say, well, we weren't told the truth to begin with. Now, it's their responsibility anyway to go and dig the truth. Now we do have the sources available, the Internet. We have alternative media and alternative newspapers to at least read and think for yourself. But good Lord, if they're not willing to do that and they rely on the media, as most still do, let's face it, the majority of people are still walking around in a cloud, then the media have succeeded in their primary goal, which is not to inform, but to cover up or disinform. And
yeah.
That, I think, is one of the ways that I'm able to actually influence people into thinking, saying the fact that you are not reading a particular story in the media and you're not seeing a story that is now confirmed to be true and yet was denied or was shoved aside by the controlled media bosses, why is that? Can you trust them in anything now? And then they say, you know, you've got a good point there, Rick. I have to tell you, you're right. When you're right, you're right. I say, okay, stop buying the newspaper. Stop feeding the advertisers. Stop supporting the lie. That's your obligation. And support those who do tell the truth.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the way I look at it, Don, you know?
That's so true. And at the same time, it's difficult for people to just do what you described because of the manner in which they have been progressively propagandized and mind controlled and or brainwashed into accepting all the things that they took as true, as reality. In fact, they became so desperate in the media that they had to create these series of shows and actually call them reality shows, a new reality show, and there's nothing real about any of this. That's the whole thing about television. It's all fiction. It's all based on illusion. But they use that word reality, and to these people, in their hypnotic state, they assume that they're, what they're seeing is reality. And at the same time, when we show the truth, and we show these people who are in that state of mind, wrapped, caught up in this belief, shackled or in a straitjacket of belief, we grate against that to where a simple term like conspiracy theory dispels whatever we have to say.
Right.
That is a sad state of affairs, and you're really dealing with an evil demonic plot to really usurp the sovereignty of each human being on this planet through that system.
Yes, you are.
Now,
no doubt about it.
From your perspective, and you know, I listen to your show regularly, and I'm sure there's some listeners out there tonight, right now, even that listen to your show from time to time.
Mm-hmm.
You have covered as much as I have, if not more, this issue of this presidential campaign and the election and the illegal aliens that ran for office. That was, you know, this information was swept under the rug, as you referred to my research. You know, I'm absolutely certain that this is accurate research, and yet this is overlooked intentionally because of who controls our government. And it's related to the banks and the corporations and the military-industrial complex, the secret societies, all of this. We really understand that this is a spiritual battle, don't we?
Right. Right, it is. It's a force of good versus the force of evil. And Jesus himself made that abundantly open to all who would have ears to hear and eyes to see. And he said that. He said, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free, in John 8:32, didn't he? He said that.
Mm-hmm.
What did he mean by that?
Meaning. He's known as our Messiah, those of us who were raised in Christian faith, and or those who practice the Christian faith. And even in some other religions, he's known as a Messiah. Did he mention anything about change you can believe in?
I get your drift. Isn't it interesting when you hear Obama give us the sort of change of direction from the discredited Bush administration? The Bush administration has been totally and completely driven out of office, not even by the people as much as those that wanted, those that put him in and wanted him driven out after he served his purpose. And, isn't it interesting? For instance, that George Bush's administration and Obama's both have so much in common with fraudulent deficit Roosevelt's administration, FDR. They both are socialists. And yet I hear people saying now we're going to have the first socialist, out-and-out socialist president. And I said, where have you been for the last 90 years? It's all been done before. And we didn't just get on the socialist bandwagon with Obama. We're on the decline of the roller coaster of socialism that we've been on since 1933. People are totally, totally done, unaware until I bring it to their attention, or you bring it to their attention, or others bring it to their attention, that we're not even on any kind of a gold standard. People still think that somehow we have a gold backing for our currency. They don't have a clue that they've been lied to, and it's the same lie that was practiced by Roosevelt, that was just practiced for 8 years under George Bush, and now full steam ahead once again under Obama. The lie that somehow government can be our God. And government must do. You never heard George Bush really and truthfully come out and denounce the nanny state, the state of government paternalism. And when he did do it, he was appealing for votes from the and money from the Republican right. But that was rhetoric. It was nothing more than sophistry. For everyone knew that George Bush's administration was as socialist as Ronald Reagan's administration, who brought about hundreds and hundreds of new IRS agents on board. He never abolished the departments of energy or education, made them bigger, increased the role of the IRS and the Treasury, and all of this was in opposition to the rhetoric we heard. The rhetoric was one way, the action was another. So what I'm saying, to cut to the quick, and you can stop me from rambling if I'm going on.
No, you're doing fine. Keep going.
But, it's just amazing how, and I hate to put it this way, all right, but again, I'm getting a little bit impetuous, how dumbed down our nation has become to think that the average person, again, because the media have done their job of disinformation, misinformation, and the sin of omission, how they have been led to believe in the Tooth Fairy and the world of Alice in Wonderland. That went out long ago. And I tell people, I just told somebody today, I said, did you know that when Franklin Delano Roosevelt became president, he campaigned on a platform that he was going to kick out the rascals, drive the money changers from the temple? And I said he was one of the prime puppets of the money changers. Did you know, I said, that he declared the United States to be officially bankrupt? Did you know that he closed the banks and told Americans they had to turn in their real money, gold? Because gold was the only thing that stood between them and these international Keenite bankster gangsters? Did you know it was illegal to own gold? Did you know that people today, some of them still, have never gotten their gold back under the Gold Reserve Act of 1934? And they look at me, you know, Don, like you say, like you're an alien. Like, where the heck did you get that from? I don't hear Brian Williams talking about that. I don't hear Katie talking about it. I don't hear anybody talking about that. What the heck are you talking about? And I say, it's all there for you to look at. It's all in the history books. The fact that you haven't heard it from them proves the point that I've been making all these years, that we have a controlled media that continue to dumb down the public, continue to keep them asleep, so that while their country is being destroyed around them, they will continue to watch the Oprah Winfrey shows. They will continue to watch these so-called reality shows, as you've said, watch the game shows, all, you know, Regis, Philbin, and all of the rest of it, and that is the level that they function at. So, yes, Virginia, there is a new world order, and it's here. And George Bush and all of the rest of them, Obama, all we're seeing now is the transfer of power, as Brian Williams put it the other night. He didn't say authority. He didn't say administration. He didn't say government. He said power. And that word has some definite meanings within the Illuminist circles, as you know.
Well said, and I agree with all of what you said. In regard to where the average individual is and the way this fraud, and I have to call it a fraud. In fact, I look at what has happened in light of what I know and what is about to be revealed. And I'm going to comment on that briefly in a moment here. I look at everything that's happened, and I say, this is just organized crime. This is just corruption. There's nothing real about this. There's nothing based upon the truth about this. It's a fraud that's been perpetrated on the country. You have the stealing of elections. It makes one wonder, when have we ever had a real election in this country? Because these stories go back 50 years ago to Mayor Daley in Chicago as well. After he died, they found all these warehouses filled with ballot boxes that had been switched after or during elections. And I saw a map just a couple of days ago of the election results from around the country, you know, the red state, blue state thing.
Mm-hmm.
And Obama may have won in six states. And you have to even question that. But why did McCain relinquish that victory? Well, he was told to. That's obvious that had occurred.
He didn't really run for president. It was a joke.
Yeah.
Neither did John Kerry against George Bush. It was handed to Bush.
Yes, exactly. But whether that map is accurate or not, everyone had the sense, and we certainly had proof that there was corruption, even in the preliminary state caucuses that were occurring. We had this debacle in New Hampshire with the removable tape on the ballot boxes, and they actually filmed taking the tape off and putting it back on, and it didn't pull up the paper, and the seal was perfectly good to use over and over again. And then they filmed people entering and exiting the polling place where these boxes were supposedly in a secure place with the ballots in there, and people were removing the boxes in the middle of the night and returning with something else. And the general populace is, because they depend on the media to put out the truth, we're just hoodwinked into thinking that this was a reality, that we had voted for a man who is an African American, and he still has not produced the paper to prove that fact, to demonstrate. It shouldn't have to be asked to do that. The Constitution requires it. The Federal Election Commission laws require it. Mm-hmm. And I would suppose that the political parties would demand the same thing on that basis, that if they're going to comply with the federal Election Commission regulations and conduct an honest, fair election, that that they're going to comply with their own laws. We don't create those laws. They do. But still, they're above their own laws. They can break those laws.
Yes.
Now, in respect, I just want to make this short comment, and I'm going to let you run with this. I got to thinking, if somebody's committing a felony by committing forgery, presenting phony documents, and I've not seen one valid document that Barack Obama or his people submitted as a genuine representation of him being an American citizen, including the family members. I've gone down the rabbit hole on them, too. If you've read my work, you know that it's convincing.
Sure, I have, yes.
Okay. I got to thinking about the pictures. Because of this programming, because of this idol worship that's been ingrained into our subconscious mind over the past 60 or 70 years, as you well point out, certainly since the advent of television and magazines, what about the pictures? And I began looking at the pictures, and I began noticing that they all look fabricated just like the documents. In fact, how can he have real pictures if he doesn't have real documents? And let me tell you that the world is in for a real surprise when they see the analysis of these photos. And still, are they going to do anything about it? That's the question. Their intention is not to, but any thoughts on that?
Well, as far as his true eligibility is concerned, I think, and I made myself pretty clear on that when people like my friend John Clark and others were trying to disqualify Obama, and they were trying to get to the nitty-gritty of his illegitimacy as a candidate. I said, look, the fix is in. It doesn't matter. And quite frankly, do you think the American voting public at this point cares about the Constitution, cares about what this country is all about, cares about the technicalities? They don't care about that. All they want is someone who's going to fix the problem. That's the national mentality. The voting public's mentality is so dumbed down now, so basically rooted in immediate gratification, that all they are concerned about is not whether he was born here or there or on another planet, for that matter. Can he do the job, and can he out-promise what John McCain has promised to do? Both of them had so much in common that it wasn't even funny. You know, and I had to laugh when the media moguls and all of these stupid commentators were telling us, boy, now the American people have a clear choice between the two candidates, one on the right and the other on the left. And I'm laughing hysterically, saying if only they knew what that meant and how nonsensical the arguments are that are being presented. So my opinion is, no, they anointed this man, the powers that be wanted him to replace the dialectics that had been evidenced under Bush, and now we are going to be given this impression we're moving in the other direction, and the other direction means more socialism disguised as compassion, disguised as fixing the economy, and on the international front, more peace and safety. Those will be the key words, peace and security, they'll say, and I think you're going to see more damage done, ultimately, under this administration than we saw under George Bush, ironically. Isn't that interesting? But I believe that to be the case.
That's hard to imagine that could occur,
yeah.
But...
You see, that's the propaganda we've all been seeing. Look at how evil George Bush is. He invaded countries. He destroyed America's standing in the world. But now comes this Messiah, and now he's going to straighten it out, and he's going to bring about a new era of peace and international understanding. And isn't that what Satan wants? He wants a new world order.
Well, I reported in my Three Stooges Go to Washington piece that Obama actually... assisted Raila Odinga in the acquisition of the power base in Kenya, where he claims his father is from, which is as fraudulent as him being from Hawaii. Mm-hmm. It's just the Hegelian dialectic in overdrive.
Mm-hmm.
And there were at least 750,000 people slaughtered in that process. This is something that he financed at least to the tune of $1 million, possibly more. There were missionaries in Kenya who were writing in about that to people here in the United States, describing exactly what was going on. So when he talks about peace, I can only think about that. When he goes and visits leaders in countries like Pakistan, for example, and on one show, my listening audience will tell you, Rick, one show I prophesied, watch India, something's going to happen. Mm-hmm. And then not too much later, we had this incident in Mumbai. And I had no inside knowledge. It was just reading and discerning what was actually going on here. Mm-hmm. When this guy went and kissed the Wailing Wall, and I came out and said he was Jewish. In fact, I was on with Dr. K that night. The next morning, Barbara Walters comes out with on The View and delivers this message that he's half Jewish.
Yep.
Which half is Jewish? The African half or the Kansas half? That's another Wizard of Oz story being spun for us. Or would it be the Indonesian half?
Yep.
When you see these photos, you are going to see that this was a total fraud, the whole thing. Even the photos are frauds.
Right.
They had to construct this as an image, and this is just mind control. So the 3 million people were at the mall there to witness this obscenity called an inauguration.
Mm-hmm.
Those people are not part of this fight to save our country and to save the world. These people are going to reap what they have sown, and I'm sure you would agree with that.
Well, they're getting what they deserve, and they don't know until it hits them right in the face like a freight train. That's what's going to happen. When it's too late, then they'll probably say, hey, how could we have been so deceived? How is it possible? Was this the man that deceived us? Just like the Antichrist who's coming, who's on the scene. When he assumes his throne, they're going to be amazed when they find out that the man they thought was the true Messiah wasn't. He was the other guy. And Jesus comes, and the Christians, of all people, the so-called believers, will find out they have been the most deceived of all.
Yes. Rick, in biblical terms, going back to the days of Christ, who would you say the media was? I mean, they had to have some way to control the people. Was it the emperor of Rome? Was it the rabbis? Was it Pilate himself being the agent for the emperor?
That's a good question. That's a very good question. I haven't given it a whole lot of thought in terms of the comparisons with then. Because, just a century and a half ago here in America, the whole landscape was different. We didn't have television, didn't have radio, we did have newspapers, beginning to have telegraph, and then we found out who was taking over the telegraph system and who was taking over. And again, it goes back to the Rothschild family to control the flow of information. But in those days, there was the Minister of Propaganda, there was the Emperor, there was the system, there was the church, there were the rabbis, there were the Kenites, you see. All of them had their own sphere of influence over the public. And they had, as you know, public forums where men would get up and they would read to the public, they would propagandize the public, usually from the government ministry, and whatever the government wanted the people to believe, they would do it through those public forums as well. So the scriptures say there's nothing new under the sun. And no matter what, it's the same process. It's just a different means, different tools, but it's the same old story, as they say, Don.
Mm-hmm. Well, anyone who has studied history, archaeology, anthropology, religion, all of these topics that take us back to the times even before Christ, somewhat agree, and especially in metaphysics, we agree that the earth has been under this sort of domination for at least the past 13,000 years. Although, in another sense, we can say that this has been going on for 450,000 years. And people say, what? What are you talking about? Are you crazy? We just arrived on this planet, and they throw out a year. We're lied to about the times when these monuments and temples were built. And I'm speaking about, like, the pyramids. Very few people know about the Shenzi pyramids in China, which are even older than the pyramids in Egypt, and that there's all this alchemy and secret societies that have been at work. You know, the evil one, the dark one, has been in this realm a lot longer than people are led to believe. And it's through this type of deception and secrecy that we are continuously fooled over and over. Don't you feel sort of like a hamster on an exercise wheel?
Yeah, we do. I think we all do. Yeah, we're spinning our wheels, and we're not going anywhere, but at least we think we are, and we're having fun, right?
Yeah.
That's the whole idea in our society today. But I guess my thing here in trying to answer your questions is that, yeah, there is hope, though. I mean, I don't want people to think that there is no hope. But I would say, as you know, Don, on my show, I don't think our hopes could ever be realized in a political, earthly, worldly sense. I do have to, again, go back to Jesus, and I have to tell people that he is the light of the world, as he said. He is going to solve the problems of the world, and that's why we have him in the first place, because he is a savior. Not Obama, not Bush, as we found out. They're demons. God, through his son, is sending his savior to save the world, a perfect man, perfect God. Perfect in flesh and perfect in spirit. And all we have to do is prepare as best we can for that day when he does return, and I think it's fairly soon. I think it's very soon. I think we're seeing the signs of the times that he pointed to now. So all we can do is look up and be grateful that I think we're going to see some amazing things happen, but not to be fearful. I think that's the key. None of us who really and truly know the truth in our hearts, spiritually and biblically, not to be fearful, but to rejoice, for our redemption draws nigh, as it says in the scripture.
Yeah, that's so true. Now, one of my recent guests from a few weeks ago, Michael St. Clair, actually made a very, very interesting comment about this whole situation that's going on in respect to the controllers and those who are being controlled. And he astutely said, they are the ones that are controlled. You yourself said it when you described Obama doing what he's told to do, right? Or Bush doing, or Clinton, or Bush 41, or any of the other ones. Although they have taken their role a little bit down a path of independence and resistance to the orders that they've been given, which has complicated things for us. It's caused them to have to speed their plan up a little bit faster than they had actually wanted to carry it out. And, you know, we see this reflected in the way that they extort money from us through the raising of energy prices under this ruse that energy is short, while they're using the advanced technologies for destructive purposes, while they're pilfering the funds that people think that they have waiting for their retirement. And these are pension plans or Social Security, which is really a slap in the face for what many people have done to contribute to the well-being of this country, not to mention the wealth of these bankers. And, you know, we have all of these contradictions going on. What would you say to the people out there in terms of facing things that they're normally fearful of? You know, I talk about this, but I think it's valuable coming from a man like you that can probably say it in fewer words and get right to the chase.
Well, again, I have to say, go to the scriptures. The answers are there for them that want the truth, that want to be saved from the burdens of the world. He is the way, he is the life and the truth. If you go to him in prayer and ask him for guidance and to forgive you of your trespasses, your sins, go to the name of Jesus, I think you'll find a peace that passes all understanding. He says that, the peace that passes all understanding is something that men cannot understand. Learned men cannot appreciate it because it's not something that comes from the head, it comes from the heart. It's not something we can intellectualize, it comes from the source, the pit of our stomach, from our emotions. And it's not something that's a dependency. We're not depending on religion. We're once again going to a relationship with he who created us and created us for a purpose. Not to be, you know, here forever on this planet in this flesh form where there's no hope for man to ever, ever by himself rule himself properly. As we've shown in the thousands of years of human history, man has failed the test, in my view, and that's why we need a Savior. That's why we need to go to him, and I've done that, and you know what, Don? I can honestly say here tonight without a word of kidding or joking or preaching, just telling it the way it is, that I don't have a care in the world when the day ends. I leave it all to him.
Yeah, that's faith.
That is.
And you hit it right on the head when you said it's not in the head, which is what they have created. It's mind control, right?
Yes, yes.
They've even created this mind heart, if you want to call it that, that you feel things in your mind, and then you can be manipulated. Whereas if you go into the heart, all you have to do is be silent and listen. And it really transcends any religious belief.
Mm-hmm.
All the great thinkers, all the great sages, and all the great prophets have been murdered by the others, those that are being politically correct. Isn't that an oxymoron again? That we have, every time God has sent someone from a higher realm to counsel us, to teach us, to fellowship with us and share the truth about the whole universe and about creation and the reality of who we are and why we're here, those individuals have been systematically murdered.
Oh yes.
And
Satan doesn't want that.
Yes. Yes.
Satan wants us to depend on him, not God, the Father.
Well, it's been interesting having you on the show again. I've got to have you on more often. I know that you've been kind of busy lately, and I say this every time you're on the show, and then you get busy and you can't come on. But I want to have you on more often if you'll promise to return again soon.
Oh, yes. Yes, I enjoyed it, and I hope that others have gotten something out of what I've had to say, and we'll listen to different programs, and I certainly want you to feel free to join our audience, too, to share your wisdom, your research, and your learning, because we all need to bring to our listenership the truth that will set them free.
Yes, and you feel free to email me or call anytime.
Yes.
With the games
Absolutely.
That are being played with the email these days, they don't always get through.
Yes.
But,
Amen.
Anytime. You just let me know, Rick, okay?
Well, the same here. Thank you, Don, and Godspeed to you and your audience, and keep up the wonderful work that you've been doing.
Well, you do the same, and I appreciate your kind comments. I want to recommend to the listening audience that they go to republicbroadcasting.org and listen to your show, which airs 9 p.m. to 11 p.m. Central Time.
Yes.
Or that's 10 to midnight Eastern Time, mm-hmm. 7 to 9 on the Pacific Coast. And we always leave out Mountain Time. But You've got a lot of listeners, you know, in the mountain time zone as well.
So we're finding out, yeah.
Yeah, so that's 8 to 10, I presume.
Yes.
So,
yes.
So it just moves an hour. It's a three-hour difference between the East Coast and the West Coast.
Yes, but
and
you're right.
Monday,
and now we have the 2 hours again, and we have been getting quite a response through email, phone calls, and, you know, just people calling off air as well. So, you know, that you multiply that number, Don, as you know, in broadcasting by an exponential factor, and you know that there's a lot of people who are searching the airways for the truth, and that's why they're listening to you and me, and that's why they're listening to Dr. K and others, because they're not satisfied with the pulp fiction they've been getting.
Mm-hmm. And before you leave here, Rick, I thought I'd mention to you I found out today from our network co-founder, Don Newsom, that there is a new radio coming out with, it's a dual project between Blaupunkt and another company whose name escapes my mind, but Blaupunkt is a German company. It's an internet radio, and it's a device outside of your computer. In other words, it operates like AM, FM radio, and so that may be where we're headed. Imagine the word that we could get out should that happen.
Yeah, well, I think we're going to see some big opportunities coming in this time in which we live here, these days of apostasy. The word will get out, and I think you will see technological revolutions that have yet to come. Yes, and very soon, too.
Yes. Well, I appreciate you coming on Evident Footprints tonight. And
Don. It's been my pleasure.
Look forward to your next visit, okay?
Amen.
You take care.
And you likewise. Thank you.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Folks, you have been listening to Evident Footprints on BBSRadio.com and our special guest, Rick Adams, host of Uncensored Radio Free America. He's also known as the Paul Revere of radio, okay? So please listen to his show. It's a great show. He covers a lot of topics like I cover here on Evident Footprints, some that I don't even cover, and some nights he's doing a monologue like I do on this show, and it's very informative and very inspirational. So I encourage you to listen to his show. Special thanks to Don and Doug Newsom for making Evident Footprints possible. Seth Hendrick on the sound tonight. Great sound tonight, Seth. Thank you. And most of all, I'd like to thank you, the listening audience, for tuning in. Join us again tomorrow for another great show with author, scientist, inventor Jim Murray. And in the meantime, I wish you all a night filled with peace, love, and light, and have a good night.